Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It is 12:34 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer live at Rogers Place, where today the Edmonton Oil Kings had their last press conference before they head off to the Memorial Cup. They won the WHL Championship on, what night was that? Monday night. 2-0 shutout. Fifth shutout for Sebastian Cosa, the Detroit Red Wings first round pick in the 2020 NHL Draft, 15th overall. They had a couple picks, actually, and anyways, Cosa, 5 shutouts in the playoffs after 6 shutouts in the regular season. Elliot Friedman will join us momentarily. We will tell you that some guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roos Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roos Chris Steakhouse. And all season long, the Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. Trent Brown and the gang at James H. Brown, they're going to, I know this, they'll be at the Elks game tomorrow. They're huge fans, of course. The Edmonton Elks take on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Riders got a new play-by-play guy this year. Michael Ball is at the helm. So it'll be the Elks and the Riders live at Commonwealth Stadium, 6 p.m. countdown to the kickoff show with Brendan Escott, Morley Scott, Dave Campbell, the whole gang, Blake Dermott, and then 7:30 with the kickoff of the Elks encounter looking to rebound after getting shellacked out in B.C. to open up the regular season. All right, let's quickly dip into the Ashley Fine Floors text line. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Here we go. Big Al says, Bob, I hear the NHL has ruled the Oilers will not receive any cap recuperation if Keith were to retire. How can they just arbitrarily make the decision when it's spelled out in the CBA? Well, that's a question that's out there. And I know Puckpedia, Hart Levine explained this to us a couple days ago, that and the genesis of this was there was a belief that the Oilers would get a $3.4 million credit if theoretically Duncan Keith was to retire. Now, I will tell you that I think it's 70-30 that Duncan Keith continues to play. He's got a year left in his grandfather, what was it, a 12 or 13 year deal at about $5.58 million cap hit. Keith's only going to be making $1.5 million in real dollars this season. But anyhow, because the Oilers paid $2.1 last year for Keith, the belief was they'd get a $3.4 million credit. That is not going to occur. It's been spelled out by the NHL to the Oilers, and that got verified. I'm pretty sure it was Ryan Rashog that would have asked the question from TSN. He's covering the Stanley Cup Finals. So just another way to stick it to the Oilers. This is sort of along the lines of some of the exasperation and frustration from the Oilers fan base is after James Neal, they prorated James Neal's goal scoring numbers and awarded Calgary Edmonton's third round pick. That was part of the caveat of the Neal Lucic trade down. Just to take it one step further, the fact that Edmonton was able to offload Milan Lucic, though they retained $750K, pretty much gave them the financial flexibility to sign Zach Hyman. Think about it. They got Hyman at 5.5. They're on the hook for, you know, Luch was $6 million. Drops Luch down to 5.25. That's what Calgary ate, and the Oilers took on the other 750. But there was a third round pick with that. Trucker Dave says, Bob, Keith isn't retiring. Again, to me, 70-30 continues to play. We'll, you know, like I said, we will continue to work on some things over the course. There's more going on, I think, than people should there's lots going on. Between now and June 30th, there's lots of NHL organizations that got to get their staff re-signed. There's discussions on players. One of the players that there's discussion on, I would think, would be Jesse Puljujärvi. Bob, you may be correct regarding giving Jesse Puljujärvi one more year. His English communication is not great, maybe slowing his progression on the ice, just a thought. Well, there comes a certain point when it comes to that where the onus is on Jesse Puljujärvi as well. You know, he's been in the league for a couple of years now. He's going to have to continue to work on it. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Randy says, Bob, what was Louis talking about with Jesse Puljujärvi? He's already scored 15 goals playing in a third-line role. He can become an elite third-line right wing if you leave him alone, and he works on his game. That one comes to us from Randy. The year he scored 15 goals in 56 games, that worked out to about a 22-goal pace. He was virtually in the top six the majority of that season. I think he started the year in the third line and then worked his way up. This season, he started the season on the top line. He had 7 goals and 18 points in his first 22 games. What was concerning for Jesse is what happened in his final 50 or so games for the Oilers during the course of the season. And again, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer on that. I got to tell you. Bob, the fourth period, Jace is Texas. The fourth period said today that Ville Husso will not be back in St. Louis. Is he a legitimate option or good enough to be a Skinner-Husso tandem? And what would be the dollars on the UFA contract from Jace? Jace, my guess is there's going to be at least 8 to 10 teams in on Ville Husso. I believe he'd get the minimum he would get is $4 million a year. Okay, $4 million on a cap. Well, why don't we ask our next guest as we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. He is in Denver, Colorado for Mid-City Construction Management, providing you with the highest quality, most cost-effective solutions in the safest way possible. Visit mid-city.ca. Hello, Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well, Bob. Thanks for bearing with me. I needed a couple of extra minutes. I appreciate you giving me the time.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. Can you verify that Barry Trotz is officially in Winnipeg now?
I don't know if he's actually in Winnipeg now, but I know he's going to meet with them.
Okay.
Like there is going to be a meeting with them. I'm not sure of the exact timing, but he is going to meet with them.
Texters just sent something in on Ville Husso. I know there's you put out last Saturday about both Mike Smith and Duncan Keith looking, you know, having a drop, you know, Ken Holland saying, hey, give us July 1st, give us an answer. Are you going to come back or not? We are going to have Jerry Johansson, your favorite agent, on the show today at 1:35. He's got Keith Kulak. But circling back to Ville Husso for a second, how many teams do you think will be in on him in free agency? Because it looks like he's headed to that path.
Well, how many teams do you think are looking for goalies?
8 to 10.
So I think it's going to be 8 to 10.
Does he get minimum $4 million a year? I think he would.
I think so. I think that's going to be around his number. I mean, there's always going to be questions about fit and how much money is really available. Like, I've been talking to some guys who said, you know, there's some players that are going to have some rude awakenings here in terms of how much is going to be available and what people are going to be able to do. But I think Husso's probably going to be okay. But I would expect he'll be in the $4 million range. That's that fits for what he did and how good he is.
Where are we at with Evander Kane right now? Dan Milstein represents him. I believe Milstein today is in Vancouver with Andre Kuzmenko. He's already been to Edmonton, as you know, with Kuzmenko. I mean, it's sort of is it in a nebulous area because of the fact that the arbitrator isn't available before free agency starts? It seems...
Well,
go for it.
The more I think about it, Bob, the more I think how crazy this is. Like, this shouldn't be happening. And, you know, I understand schedules change, and maybe, I don't know, Bob, maybe Edmonton winning 2 rounds caught people by surprise. But, you know, I don't understand how you can allow this situation to occur. You know, It's really crazy the fact that it's a possibility, and nobody knows what the chances of it are because you never know how an arbitrator is going to rule. But the possibility a guy could be signed by a team in free agency and then the arbitrator could overrule and say, nope, he's San Jose's property. You know, like, it's crazy to me. I thought about it. I remember when it happened and we were told about it, I remember thinking this is nuts. And the more I thought about it, I just felt that it shouldn't there has to be a way to expedite it. Because it doesn't make sense for anyone involved. It doesn't make sense for teams that would be interested in him. It doesn't make sense for Kane. It just doesn't make sense. And, you know, the other thing, too, is if we get to a situation where that worst-case scenario happens, it's just going to look bad. It's, you know, I don't think it's the best thing for your league. So, you know, I would hope that they could find a way to do this, but that's where it stands right now, is that the worst-case scenario, and again, Bob, nobody knows what percentage to put on it, the worst-case scenario is we get a situation where a team signs him and the arbitrator says, nope, he belongs to the Sharks. Because as it stands right now, we don't, like the league said the other day, that there's no settlement talks going on. And they also said the same thing that I've heard, which is that these teams are, like, the Sharks really believe in their position and Kane really believes in his position.
So nobody's budging, which means no settlement.
Not at this time. Now, who knows? Like, you know, one of the things I kind of wonder about is, now, I was talking about this with some people, like, what could be some outcomes here? And, you know, one GM said to me the other day, Bob, he said, hey, if I was getting Kane and I was worried about this situation, I would have to call San Jose and say, I feel comfortable making a deal with you. If he comes back to you, I want to know that we can make a trade if I'm going to sign this player. But the other thing someone said to me is, if we start hearing settlement talks, he thinks that means that Kane's got a contract somewhere that he's not going to want to jeopardize. So what I wonder about happens here, Bob, is if what happens if, say, the Oilers get to a deal for Kane, which is going to be bigger than the deal he would get in San Jose, do we see Kane settle and try to drop a grievance?
Yeah.
And that actually makes a lot more sense to me.
Well, ironically enough, we had Brian Lawton on the show discussing, you know, he said just based on the pure numbers, you can make an argument, because I said, give me a price point on a four-year term. And he said, well, based on the numbers and the productivity, you're back in the sevens. But there's other factors. There is another factor on the San Jose side of things. What's going on with their GM search? Like, who's actually going to be making the call in that organization? Doesn't look like it's going to get settled before the NHL draft, or will it get settled before the draft?
I don't know that I would say that. I think they are getting to their last group here. I think they've got about 3 to 5 final candidates. I'm trying to pin them all down. I've heard some of them are very unique, and I'm working on that as kind of we speak. But I do think that Merrick has said he's heard for a while now that it will be a different hiring than a lot of us have expected. I think there's a chance for that. I'm just trying to pin down some of the names. Like, you know, one guy who I kind of thought was interviewed, and now I do believe he was Mike Greer, former Shark,
yeah.
Whose family, his brother and father, are NFL executives.
Yeah.
Bobby, you know, Greer. I think Bobby Greer's his dad. Ray Whitney has obviously been in there, but I think there's some even more unique names to that we're just trying to all pin down.
Is it possible it's somebody from another sport?
Yes, I think that would definitely be possible in this case. You know, one of the people in the San Jose organization is Ned Colletti, who had a long history in baseball. So that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, I worked with the Dodgers. He's a friend of Todd McClellan's, and I met Ned with Jay Woodcroft, actually, and Todd in Los Angeles a few years ago. Speaking of Jay Woodcroft, coaching,
yep.
Is, you know, the Oilers have until June 30th. There's several people in the organization that, I mean, this happens in hockey around the league where you have lots of, and especially when your team goes three rounds, suddenly you got a bunch of work to do to get some stuff done. What do you think we're looking at with Woodcroft?
Well, I think there have been a lot of conversations, Bob, about the future of your organization this week. You know, one of the things I think is happening, there's a lot of people in the Oilers who didn't have contracts beyond this year, mm-hmm. and I think some of that is starting to get rectified. You know, I've heard there's been some conversations there about extending some people who need to be extended. I think the most interesting one in some of these cases, and we'll see if it's the issue at all with Jay, is term. And I think that there's, if you look at it, Bruce Cassidy just got 5 years from the Golden Knights, and Tortorella got 4 years from the Flyers. I'm curious to see how the Oilers are going to feel about term in this one. Do they feel like three? Do they feel like less? And to me, I think that's going to be one of the questions.
Yeah, I would think that 3 years would, you know, that kind of makes sense to me. I mean, it also, Ken Holland's got 2 years left in his deal as well, Elliot. We should note that.
Yes, I think that that's all part of the conversation.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right.
Because one of the things I do think, Bob, is that I think that there was some conversation about, do we tie everything in with the length of Holland's deal? Mm-hmm. And in some cases, that would probably be okay. And in some other cases, that might not be okay.
Yeah. We're joined right now by Elliot Friedman for Mid-City Construction Management. Were there other teams other than the Vegas Golden Knights in on Shea Weber, to your knowledge?
I know Arizona was at one point. However, you know, they went out and they did Brian Little instead. So that was a contract. That was a team I know that was considering it.
Do you foresee a scenario where the league looks at shut? I mean, Vegas, I mean, they're all in. You know that about Vegas.
Yeah.
Does the league ever, in the next CBA, look at maybe changing things around?
Well, it was funny. They were asked about that the other day at their availability, and they said no. They said that, you know, they said that that's not something that they're really looking at. And then this deal happened a day later, and a couple of guys were kind of laughing about it, actually. I think the problem is, you know, the problem is that I don't think anybody really realizes, and this is what one of the cap people said to me. He says, I don't think you really realize how hard it is to change this. And he says to me, I know people don't like it. And to be honest, not every team likes it. And he thinks the league doesn't like it either. But, you know, in the NHL is a league where injuries happen. And if you don't have some kind of mechanism like this, teams are going to get screwed. Like Ken Holland, who was the person who brought this up for the GM meetings earlier this year, he's also the same person, we point out, when they were going to the cap in the first place, what happens if you have 10 injuries in a playoff series? How are you going to put together a roster? And that's why it's there. And Bob, I think that, and that's what some people have said to me. They said, look, I know it looks bad in some ways, and I know some people really hate it and some teams hate it, but at the end of the day, you have to have a mechanism there for in a tough contact sport when teams get clobbered by injuries. And if you want to change that, he said, good luck finding a system that's going to work any better than this.
Fair comment.
I think what you are going to see, Bob, is you're going to see, and we're seeing it already, much stricter conversations about who's allowed to stay in long-term injury and for how long. Like, I think, remember, Vegas this year had to ask Leonard to play, sit on the bench one game when they knew he wasn't going to play. I think that was because they were worried that the league wouldn't clear him or clear somebody to go on or off LTIR.
Elliot, I'm going to totally switch focus here, it's two more. So I'm going to start with the league and Bettman. How closely is he monitoring the situation with the 2018 Canadian World Junior, the players that were involved in the settlement that occurred?
Very closely. They've opened the investigation. They've let all the players on the team know that they want to talk to them. And like Makar said, and even though Makar has said he's not involved. He has said he will cooperate with the investigation. He said he received an email about it. I think they're watching it very closely. And Bettman said he would make the results public, although he also did say that was pending the fact that there was information there that they were told to keep confidential. I mean, there's a hearing on Monday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the day of Game 3. That could be an explosive day, depending on what happens. So okay. We'll wait to see where this goes. But they're worried about it. I think everybody in hockey is worried about it. Nobody wants or needs stories like that. They're awful.
Yeah. Final one for you, just to circle back to Chicago, because we got lots of texts about this after you're on last week. So we have Jerry Johansson coming on, his firm, David, Michael Kay, and Jerry, they represent Kirby Dach, and it is your belief that everybody's in play in Chicago with the exception of the Jones, Kane, and Taze. Is that right?
Yeah, you can ask about anybody. Jones, Taze, and Kane are the three with no move clauses, and they're not doing that, at least now. But they said everybody else is open to be discussed. And like I said, people have compared it to Hagel. That he was available, and finally Chicago got an offer they felt they couldn't say no to. Hmm. And that's what everybody's job is here. Can you make us offers that we won't say no to?
Elliot, great stuff. Appreciate you taking time to enjoy Denver. It's a hell of a city. Which hotel are you at? Are you downtown, or are you in Cherry Creek?
Are you crazy? What, you're going to tell me what hotel I'm staying at?
I don't need to know the town. Are you downtown, or are you in Cherry Creek?
I'm downtown.
Okay. Have a great time, Elliot. Thank you for your time.
Take care, man.
That is Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers for Mid-City Construction Management, providing you with the highest quality and most cost-effective solutions in the safest way possible.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Visit mid-city.ca. We'll take a 30-second timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now. It is 12:55 in Edmonton.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
12:56 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. This text comes in on the Ashley Fine Floors text line out of Calgary, and he says, Bob, I would suggest that the NHL is intentionally dragging their feet, forcing Evander Kane to settle and move on. AJ from St. Thomas, I blame the following on the Peterborough Mafia for firing Dallas, the picks for Shirelli, Todd McClellan, and James Neal, the Anaheim goalie interference, the Kale offside, the cap relief, laugh out loud, that might break the blogosphere, might fire up Mark Spector too. Dallas Eakins grew up with those guys, and I think he went to Roger Nielsen's hockey school back in the day. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, I wonder if the new ownership in Nashville might mean that Luke Prokop becomes available. Is he referring to Jimmy Haslam? I have no idea why that would be an issue. Great guy, 6'5", 220-pound right shot, a dimension that would look good with guys like Broberg on the left side. Keep him in an inclusive organization like OEG. I think Nashville's been pretty positive with the whole situation involving Luke Prokop being one of the first hockey players out, I think the first player out there to come out as openly gay, and I think they've been very supportive, and I don't think it, unless I'm misreading, so I don't know enough about, I should actually talk to Jack Michaels. He's a huge, no, Haslam, which he's got the Browns, right? Cleveland Browns? We'll see, but I mean, I'll tell you who Luke Prokop reminds me of. Cody Franson. That's the player he reminds me of when you watch him play. You know, a ranger, right-shot guy with some skill that gets pucks through from the point. I mean, the top four for the Oil Kings, that's what they have that nobody else has at the Memorial Cup. Just like with Colorado, that pairing of Taze and Makar, huge difference maker.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.